The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
Coming up next, Los Matadores and El Torito will be in tag team action against 3MB and Hornswoggle.
Oh, yeah, hey, baby! Oh. Woo! What's up, brother?
So, hey, please welcome my guests.
We are here for one reason. Swoggle has a lot to say, so say it!
Pettengill, how you doing today? Doesn't matter. Here's the thing, Pettengill. Us and the Matadors and El Toro. All
hey, man. It's not El Toro. It's El Torito. Why is he doing this all the time?
We're supposed to be one take, guys.
You know, just cut this. Just roll it back and everything, you know, and, you know, start it all over.
Guys. We're live, big man. We can't stop. You gotta go. Get it. Talk to the camera. Guys. Hornswoggle? Okay. So that match is is next year. Stay tuned to SmackDown.
Sid Vicious will never live it down either. I shall say good evening as we are live to tape on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around my table tonight it's a little barren, but that's all right. First, the man who discovered this fine recording, Mr. Jim Williams.
Glad to be here, and always nice to know that I have half the brains that you do. Can we try that again? Because, no?
We're live to tape, pal.
But I'm the editor, so I can... I'll keep that in.
There you go. And normally don't announce him as third, but he's right here, fourth.
And with over 300 episodes, we prove the set skip. Can we do this again?
No. unless Jim wants to stay up all night editing.
Nope.
Yeah, I didn't think so. We'll have another at the table shortly, but I'm going to start the show, hopefully without screwing this up. No! 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 I wish Beeman was here just to tell me that I have some bad news. Bad things happen in threes. And it seems Daniel Bryan's third was the one that really stuck it to him, to the point that he actually came out and addressed the crowd to let us all know that he was going to have to take time off for some minor neck surgery. Jim, the wind just flew out of my sails.
Understandably, and the wind blew out of the sails of so many who have been wanting to see Daniel Bryan do his thing as champion. It's a rough, rough thing, but you'd rather him go through this now and then come back at 100%, and you know he'll get another crack at the title, than see him shall I say, CM Punk it and play through the pain and only injure himself that much further.
And that's something that, you know, I certainly advocate, especially when it comes to neck surgery, after seeing other individuals who have come back after getting their necks done. Rhino, Edge, Kurt Angle. I could list a few other people, but I'm going to keep my sanity for now. It's minor enough, Forth, that Brian wants to be back for SummerSlam. That seems a little ambitious to me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, particularly if one rumored big match we would see would have been Brian versus Lesnar. I can see the drive to get back there, but right now he should take it one day at a time, wait until he finds out whether or not he can do that.
It's a matter of looking big picture here. His spot on the roster and his spot on the card is not going to be, in my opinion, greatly jeopardized by the time he's going to have rehabbing and getting healthy. I mean, he's still going to be to the top of the card as the... And I love, in the forum interview this week, Triple H kind of using the B-plus player mentality and giving all those lines freaking, you know, corporate gold right there. But he'll still be towards the top of the card. No one should worry about the end of a push or anything like that. We were kind of briefly touching on it before we went to record. This is a potential opportunity, stress the word potential, for a mid-carder or two to elevate their status, isn't it?
It is, because that is the biggest and most difficult question that I've been having trouble answering. Now that we know, it's not a matter of if, but when, the McMahons are going to strip Daniel Bryan of the title because of the 30-day rule and because corporate people are bastards. But now that they have the belts, it's not exactly like they can... Well, there's that one dude in Adam Rose's party that wears the body stocking so it even covers his face. Could we use him for vacant?
Yes.
The title will be a party. Everybody gets a dum-dum pop.
While we're waiting for the new champion, we'll go ahead and party with the titles. And Byron Saxton, give Frankie the Clown his wig back. Anyway. But yeah, that's the question is who? Seriously, who in the wide, wide world of wrestling entertainment do we put the belt on right now?
Don't you have a car horn effect for that?
Actually, I've already seen a couple of jokes about that, where somebody on WWE memes on Facebook shows John Cena poking his head into Vince's office, and Vince telling him, "Daniel Bryan's injured, so you know what that means." "Oh, yeah, boss, I know what that means. That means my time is now again." And remind me to get back to Slam City, because I've got something pretty big on that. Cena is an option. Kane is not an option, though it would be interesting, just as a kind of backhanded corporate reward for finishing Brian off so he could go get his surgery. I might be a little off base there, Jim.
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past, the powers that be to reward Kane. I wouldn't put it past him, but maybe that seems too obvious. I see what you're saying. Forth, do you have any names in mind that you think could ultimately reap the benefit of the belt? Maybe somebody from, Evolution, perhaps?
That's what I was trying to think, whether or not they would try to put it back on Orton or put it on Batista, but it definitely feels more like they're locked into the Shield program. So I was actually considering a surprise to a lot of people. I would say Cesaro, but I don't know if they would think it's too early for him.
I think it's too soon, but it would be something. It would just be something more for my dear Uncle Paul to crow about. Plus, I'd rather have that and keep the belts clean.
Baby oil.
I have, but it all comes back to, you know, Batista came on board to promote a movie, and of course, when you promote a movie and you make a comeback, you get the title for some point in time. So, Dave, mad. That's a possibility. I don't think it'll happen.
I don't see it either, mainly because he's lost a couple of matches recently, even if it was by other circumstances. He lost in a DQ finish to Ziggler just so he could beat him up some more. So, I don't know.
Do they, put it this way, does the authority place it on somebody by default, or do they go, let's have a tournament?
Since we just had the Intercontinental title tournament, I think they're not going to do that. They're not going to have another tournament for the title unless they really want to have a nice little ass pull and do a King of the Ring.
It's been a while since something like that's been done. Or are we going to just have the title held in abeyance?
I hate that guy. I really, really hate that guy. But actually, you had a point when it came to Batista. Something that was pointed out, and yes, I'm going to cite WWE memes again. Brock Lesnar has technically only had 7 wrestling matches in the last decade. And even with that light of a schedule, Brock Lesnar conquered the streak at WrestleMania.
Oh, right. Stop it.
Sorry, I had to do it once.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did.
Just like you have to bounce checks every week into my email box. What the heck's up with that?
I'm out of ponies.
I never wanted ponies. I'm all about the money. You see.
And I understand that, because that is the ultimate goal of everybody in this business.
Some of us do have standards.
You know what?
What?
Jason Block is joining us on the table. Hey, Jason.
By the way, I just parked my ARC. You know, it was it's made of wood. All the animals are 2x2, but I made it, so there you go.
And it didn't take you 40 days and 40 nights. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I know. But it's pretty bad out there.
Right now, we are bemoaning the Daniel Bryan issue. The fact that he's going to be out a couple of months with the neck surgery, and it's not a matter of if but when, that the titles will be removed from his person. We are trying to figure out who should have the belts. Now, I made a joke about vacant. We just had a joke about abeyance.
Yeah. But now, let's see. The way I would do it is you need a heel to have the belts right now.
Yes.
Okay. Because Daniel Bryan, of course, is the number one face in the country, in the company. Sorry, John Cena. Okay. There are a couple of people in mind who I see. I see about 3 of them at the moment.
All right.
Number one, of course, is the guy who had the belts last, and that's Randy Orton. Cue the effect, please.
Well, I played it earlier because somebody had suggested Cesaro, and mm-hmm. I said I'd accept that because at least it'd keep the belts dry.
Baby oil!
Yes, and of course Cesaro's the second guy, but here's my third guy. He is the most over heel right now. And that's Bray Wyatt, okay? Yes, he's fighting John Cena right now, but to have Bray Wyatt hold the belt and have Daniel Bryan come back with a little bit of, as you love to say, continuity, right? Come back into
the belt. I like that. Now, Now, okay, put your booking hat on. How do you get there? Because I can't see the authority just handing the belts to Bray.
This is what you do, okay? This is how you do it, which is really even better. You have sort of a fatal four-way for the belts, okay?
All right.
You put in John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, and another face. Not Sheamus.
Ziggler?
Ziggler, let's just say. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And John Cena wins the belt, cue the IWC. So then you make the payback last man standing match a world title, WWE World Heavyweight title match. Then Bray Wyatt wins. He takes down the face of the WWE and is now going to make it burn. At least until Daniel Bryan comes back.
Just, you know, I don't know. It's you know, that's not a bad idea. It's just, it is a conundrum. It's right now we don't have a lot of people that would look right with the belt.
At the moment, no.
And that's largely in part to the pretty decent storylines in play where you just can't plug in the title and make it, oh, by the way, this match is for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Have at it.
Yeah.
But that's turned into a double-edged sword. It's interesting.
I can only imagine the number of rewrites that are going on for Raw heading into this week. I can only imagine how many rewrites are being necessitated.
Well, they're right now over in Europe. They're like, you know, sipping on a cappuccino somewhere in Rome saying, hey, what do we do about this? Because you saw Stephanie's pictures from Rome.
No, the only Rome I was looking at was Roman Reigns' cut.
Ow, ow, ow. No, stop that. No, you can't talk about this.
I wish I couldn't, because somewhere Trista is sharpening a knife to go after Mr. Orton. Because it happened.
Be careful.
Roman, ow, man, with an eye-sized, egg-shaped cut just over his right eye, probably a half a dozen stitches.
Give that man a big old steak.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
And after the swelling goes down, he would eat the steak raw. Anyway.
Yeah. And the thing is, I know Trista would say, he even looks sexy showing the eye off, you know?
I mean, somebody even said that. I saw it posted on the message board, and underneath it said, he's still giving the hey girl look.
Yes, he was. He was, wasn't he?
He was. Oh, good Lord. One of my news wires here is twanging. Oh, let me step away from this for some good news. Hey, Slam City fans, somebody found the CM Punk cartoon.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yay.
Yeah.
So thank you, WWE, for not holding that big of a grudge against Punk and letting us see the Ice Cream Man. Do us a favor and beat the high holy heck out of Miz.
Now that's what I call good humor.
Yes.
I don't have the Tony Atlas button handy. But yeah, there were a handful of new cartoons showed up on Slam City. Like I said, the most prominent one being the CM Punk as the Ice Cream Man, which we didn't think we were actually going to get to see. But I knew that it was, we knew that it was still on the site because of, you could ask for it, but it wouldn't let you. We just say you're forbidden to look to enter this area.
So it was pretty much like they gave it the Easter egg treatment for the longest time.
Right. So you have that. You have part two of the battle in the theater, Sheamus versus Brock Lesnar. You have another Rey Mysterio crossing guard video against Damian Sandow. And the latest one is simply called The Finisher. What is his master plan? WWEslamcity.com. Check it out.
Oh, it's, speaking it's of awesome. Sandow, mm-hmm. he's had a very interesting week this week. I don't know where they're going with this.
What is downward spiral?
Yeah. It's like he started the week on the pre-show trying to do a pipe bomb, and CM Punk's going, no, this is not working,
mm-hmm.
which continued on both Raw and SmackDown, where he lost both matches, and he's like bitching and moaning. And is it just me, or is he coming off as a whiny little baby?
Kind of.
He's a heel. Don't you expect that? I mean, he's in between a bunch of feuds, and I guess they're just looking to give him something to do. At least they're letting him stay on camera and putting a microphone in his hands, even if they do turn it off.
It's in essence as if he's doing an on-camera heel version of Ryder Gets No Respect, quite frankly.
Gimmick infringement.
Hmm. I mean, there's been rumors of this disgruntled faction of, like, Ryder and Miz and Ziggler. I'd like to see them pull the trigger on it.
I wouldn't mind seeing it myself, but would they be... Are we looking at a group of whiny heels that are just looking for attention? Or eventually spin it as another anti-authority faction.
It's the Union 2.0. Uh-oh. And so, that fell on deaf ears. Thank you.
Sorry.
I'm just remembering that stable.
Yeah, it left much to be desired. That's why I referenced it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see, I'm with you, Jason, I'd like to see them pull the trigger on something like this. I don't think they will, though. I don't know that creative believes the fans can get behind it.
It just, it depends. Just the fact that it's, you know, Sandow is essentially career heel, given the character he plays right now. Miz gets stuck in the heel face revolving door. Ryder wants to be a face, but we tried that already. And Ziggler is a chew toy still.
Sadly.
We don't know where that's going, but at least we do know one thing that is going places, and that is our beloved WWE has finally gotten their handshake agreement with NBC Universal. Bonnie Hammer wasn't going to let these guys go. Come on, people.
But she wasn't going to pay NASCAR money for it either.
So do we even have a number, a time frame?
We don't really have a time frame, but we sort of have a number. Do we not? I mean, it's estimated that it's like a 50% increase on the previous contract, which is far less than the closer to $800 million that
$300 million.
Well, closer than you know that what WWE wanted.
They wanted double money, and they got half.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got half.
And that's why the stock has nosedived. Okay, the stock has dropped. It dropped almost $9 today.
For perspective, Vince McMahon is, for the moment as we record this, no longer valued as a billionaire by Forbes and many others. He lost something to the tune of $325 million pretty much overnight since the deal was announced Thursday. So you can only imagine Titan Tower office, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm not a billionaire.
I can tell you something, and I will be honest with you on this. The financial people are a bunch of morons, okay? Yeah. They are like idiots, okay? Let me just explain to you, if any financial people are listening, you should be loading up on WWE stock right now, and I will tell you why, okay? Here's the deal. Yes, the number was low at $180 million, and yes, they may not be getting the people who they want to get on the subscriber start here in the United States, but has the network really opened anywhere else yet in the world? The answer is no. Okay? So until the WWE rolls out the network to other foreign countries, I think all this financial stuff is bullshit. Okay?
Go ahead.
I was about to say, and they're having a press conference on Monday to calm investors' fears. I understand it because that's what the publicly traded company has to do, but I think it's a very big overreaction to me.
I would tend to agree with the overreaction aspect of the Monday presser, and quite frankly, it might cause more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also say this. Some further numbers. We had estimated about 1 million subscribers would make the network a break even to, you know, re-up and compensate for lost pay-per-view revenue. We were a little off on that. Right now, the break-even point is 1.5 million subscribers. They're at 250,000 right now, with more or less the belief and guarantee they can get to 1 million by year's end. Yes, they're going to be more worldwide by year's end. I don't know. If I'm a shareholder, I would probably have kept. I wouldn't have sold, you know, like everybody and their sister. But I understand why they did. I mean, you're not getting the big deal money-wise for the NBC Universal, to stay on the NBC Universal networks. Of course, this is the same company that just spent, I think it was, what, $8 billion last week to keep the Olympics through 2032. So WWE wasn't exactly a priority by comparison. The other thing is, the network is both helping and hurting their cause. If the WWE network did not exist, assuredly they would have gotten more money for a TV deal, I'd have to think. But
really?
Oh, absolutely, because there's something to be said for exclusivity. Yes, they have exclusive broadcast rights, but the stuff can re-air on WWE Network a couple of days later. So it's not as exclusive. And plus, you see the constant plugging of the WWE Network, and I'm sure USA and sci-fi officials are like, that's going to eventually erode our audiences for lead-ins and follow programs and what have you. I mean, they're not going to check out, you know, some of our shows because they'll want to go back to the network. I mean, you're actively advertising the post-show as opposed to what we air after Raw, which lately has sadly been Crisley Knows Best. I think that played a role in the fact that they didn't get the NASCAR-level money and they got just a little pat on the back up.
Well, you got to realize, though, that WWE's audience is very specific.
Oh, it's the epitome of a niche market. It absolutely is.
No program that bookends Raw or SmackDown benefits from being there at all. We tune in when the show starts and we go away when the show stops. That was even before the network launched. So I don't understand, maybe
the first quarter hour, but otherwise, yeah, you're right.
I was going to say that, so I don't, you know, I can understand NBCU's beef because that is typically what happens with other shows. But wrestling, by and large, as long as I have been watching it and as long as I've been following it around on the internet, as soon as the show's over, the wrestling fans get up and leave. It's that simple. So I don't know how that could have. The only reason I think it hurt is just because it's the way the rest of the television world works. But it's weird how reality warps around wrestling. It really is.
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, do you think, was there a win-win here? Or, I mean, did NBC Universal get away with the steal? Or do you think they paid the right amount of money at 50% higher?
Well, I was thinking that WWE was going to double their money. And they got 150%, which still ain't bad. As long as the money went up, because they already knew they were going to be losing money this year, and that's kind of the reason there's this stock correction going on. And I know you derided this earlier, Jason, but I'm going to read this to so that our listeners can understand what's going on. This is from Emmanuel Lemelson, the CIO of Lemelson Capital Management. WWE has affirmed that even if they get 1 million subscribers for the network, the company stands to lose between $45 and $52 million in fiscal year 2014, which validates the original short thesis. This follows what we believe to be material misrepresentations by the company about both the performance and operating profit model of its network, which the company has wrongly labeled a home run.
Well, let put it to you this way. We could be in for an ugly corporate fight potentially here.
And this is one that Vince isn't allowed to cheat in. As they already had a couple eyeballs in their direction as it was. This could get real ugly real quick. And this time there's a paper trail. This time there's an electronic trail.
And there's more at play than just the company that owns Titan Tower in Stamford, Connecticut. There are a few other companies involved.
Who else?
Well, I mean, when we're talking about, you know, I'm talking about for business ventures, MLB Advanced Media has a stake in some of this, of course. So it could reflect bad on them, could possibly go wrong. Obviously, with NBC Universal and TV deals, what have you. You know, if Vince, I can't word it properly, but I think you get what I'm trying to say, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also going to be very interesting because remember all those times when Stephanie sold her stock?
Yeah. Okay. Look, now more than ever, it's looking like profit-taking to me. It's absolutely looking like profit-taking. So, I go back and I look at the network. Look, it's a great thing. We all are fans of it. We encourage people to get it while it's around, because who's to say it's even going to be around a year or two from now, given the ambitions versus reality of the project. They want to get a million and a half. I don't know that they can do that.
we're not going to know the real story of the success of the network until two things happen. One, the globalization. And two, once we get past the initial six-month threshold, how many stay? Because it is a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. But WWE is really going to have to step up on original content, or at least get more of their libraries up, because people are going to start losing interest. Or they're going to say, well, that was fun. Or for some of the more internet savvy, I've saved what I wanted from the network. Bye-bye. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of money and a lot of people that are going to get hurt in this if WWE is not careful.
And they're going to piss off a lot of people here. That's why I think they're doing this press conference tomorrow, Monday.
They're trying to do damage control, simply put.
Yeah, and you're right. That could do more harm than good because, you know, while everybody's running around screaming, you standing in the middle of the crowd and saying, calm down, doesn't work.
It's like the one little press conference bit, or not press conference.
I have literally breaking news here from 7 minutes ago. I think you need to break. Do you have the sounder for it?
Yeah, give me a second. Here you go. All right, okay. What do you got?
Listen to this is from PW Insider, and I have the press release right here.
All right.
Former Louisiana Attorney General initiates investigation into what led to the WWE's new TV deal. WWE investigation, okay. From New Orleans, this is from the Business Wire. Former Attorney General of Louisiana Charles Foti Jr. Esquire, a partner at the law firm of Kahn, Swick, and Foti, LLC, announces that KSF is convinced an investigation into World Wrestling Entertainment, Inc. On May 16, 2014, WWE disclosed it reached a multi-year deal with U.S. broadcaster NBC Universal for its long-running Raw and SmackDown programs, stating that the annual value of its television distributions would research $200 million, well below what investors were expecting. Daniel Moore, an analyst with CJS Security, said in a research note that given management's more optimistic tone and the fact that other major sports franchises have garnered much higher increases, this outcome will be likely to be viewed as disappointing by many investors. On this news, the value of WWE stock plummeted by more than over 43%. KSF, now here's the key line. KSF's investigation is focusing on whether WWE and or its officers and directors violated state or federal securities laws. Bingo. Okay.
Hi, Steph. How's it going?
Yeah. Well, and then it says, if you have information to assist KSF in investigation, would like to discuss your legal rights, you may, without obligation or cost to you, email the law firm. So we're
they should have done that.
Oh, man.
Does the word class action lawsuit mean anything to you?
Yeah.
Does the term IWC spamming for the heck of it mean anything to you?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for whoever's monitoring that inbox.
Yes. Yeah. No, but all joking aside, that's big right there.
No question. No question. I mean, see can, see worm, see can of worms open. That's what this is. And, you know, as we've chronicled some of the doings behind the scenes with shares and what have you, it will be most interesting to see how everything shakes down over the next 48 to 72 hours at least. So, And looking at talking about the various deals, we talk about the NASCAR deal as the basis. I mean, Major League Baseball got a new deal recently, the NHL, and rights fees for all sports have gone up tremendously. For goodness sakes, football, there's, you know, we've talked about it enough times, a multi-billion dollar deal just to air 16 games a year on ESPN. And WWE obviously wants their piece of the pie. They didn't get it to the extent they did, so they pretty much, you know, placated for a slight little bump in their previous deal. So, you know, Monday's press conference may be more out of necessity than I thought.
I worry that Vince is going to take the podium and protest that all other major sports franchises are conspiring against him, and thus this was the only deal he could take because nobody else wanted to offer him any money.
That would be a bad move.
But that's Vince.
Indeed, as much as I don't want him to do it, I can see him do that.
I can see this happening. It's going to blow up in his face if he does it. But I will be none the less surprised if it doesn't happen, if you will.
I'll hold my thought.
Let's see what the GM's got to say. I'm not usually one to spread rumors, but now that WWE has their deal nailed down, you'd think that TNA would be smart and just try to take a deal from Spike to stay on TV. UTA is going to go shop them. The GM opens the bidding at $5 and a half-eaten Butterfinger.
Isn't that what that one guy raised in his GoFundMe or whatever it was?
No, he raised $2.
He raised exactly $2. $1 from his mother and $1 from his father.
What? Wasn't he like Canadian? Isn't the exchange rate about the same?
Still. I just, I don't know if anybody wants to buy reruns of WCW and WWE.
Yeah, WCW 2000, 2001, noteworthy, yes.
And some WWE Lite with their current storyline with a Evolution-esque stable.
For the love of Pete, boys, be original. You're good when you're original. Don't copycat.
Well, they were trying to be original. It's, what was it, Lashley, MVP, and Kenny King?
Yes. Even before New Nation references.
Well played, Forth. Well played.
Yes.
Very good. I require a moment to remove my palm from my forehead. So, Jim, could you cue up some commercials for me?
Roger Dodger.
We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source.
Hey, future body changers, it's me, John Cena. Think of your favorite food right now. What is it? Pastry, ice cream, cookies, beer, pizza, whatever it is. What would you say if I told you you could lose weight and eat your favorite foods? Well, you can. With the 10 weeks body change program for one day a week, you can eat as much of your favorite foods as you want. You heard it from me. And the rest of the 6 days of the week, you have a huge selection of foods to choose from that'll help you lose weight. Here's the kick. You can eat as much of those foods as you want to. No craving, no starving, just losing. It is officially change time.
You love your pets, so you keep them healthy by buying expensive supplements. Unfortunately, your pets don't like to take the supplements. You've tried hiding pills in food and forced it down, only for them to spit it back out. There has to be a better way. Pause 5. Two quick, delicious peppermint sprays in your pet's mouth for a full day. Protecting them 5 ways. Coat and skin, teeth and nails, joints, eyes, and immune system. No more forcing pills down your pet's mouth. You would spend over $200 buying these supplements individually. Or Pause 5 for under $35 includes all 5 supplements in one. Order online and receive free shipping anywhere in the U.S. www.pause5.com.
Unlike my cohorts here, I brought gifts.
Oh, God. You're
right. Yes. I have every running gag in BS Big Show history rolled into one big mess for us. Tim Tebow and Andy Reid holding TC and Benoodles while riding Pinkie Pie, who suffered from those three letters everybody hates, A-C-L. And what's that protruding from Pinkie Pie's dumper? Of course it's the 200th episode commemorative Turkey Baster.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't write this shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because you forgot half a douche. That's what you forgot. You forgot.
The BS Big Show, only on CLWA3.
Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, The BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jim Williams, Jason Block, and Forth. Now, Jim, you were crowing about something during the commercials that you just wouldn't shut up about.
Well, by God Almighty, you know I wouldn't shut up about this. Of course, Jim Ross, for those who don't know, is working with Fox Sports One these days, writing columns for FoxSports.com. Well, he's actually going to be on TV on Fox Sports One Memorial Day weekend. In fact, on Memorial Day itself, he is going to be announcing for the first time on the fledgling cable network. He's going to be doing one of those Golden Boy Promotions boxing shows at Fort Bliss's Stout Fitness Center in El Paso, Texas. He's calling fighting, boxing fights, including the WBC Silver Featherweight title between Rocky Juarez and Rene Jamelo Alvarado. This should be a slobber knocker, I do believe. And everybody, and we've seen the various YouTube videos and what have you of JR's voice set to MMA, among other sports. Maybe we get to that point where, you know, let's say that Mike Goldberg has laryngitis, put Jim Ross in, let him fill in on a card. Who knows? Could be the start of something nice.
Yeah, we'll see what's happening.
I'm checking it out for sure. It's gonna be awesome hearing his voice call the Sweet Science.
I'm just hoping for not necessarily a particular JR-ism, but just how after a big moment he repeats something like, I just want to hear him repeat someone's name after a big knockout.
It'll happen.
It's going to be interesting to see, because he did come in with a sports background before he was in wrestling for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. So.
And he called football with the Atlanta Falcons, and yeah. So he has a sports background, and he's professed that he's a big fight fan. So I have no reason to believe he can't do this and can't excel at this. He's going to. It's going to be awesome. What's interesting, actually, now that I think about it, he's actually getting tips from Showtime's lead fighter, who we had on his podcast recently, Mauro Ranallo, who does a great job on Showtime. And he made the transition from MMA to boxing. So if one can make a transition like that, wrestling to boxing, I don't think is that hard either to make the transition to.
It's going to be cool. Well, I really want to say this. This is going to be fun. You said Memorial Day weekend, right?
Yep, Memorial Day itself, I do believe. I don't know the exact time. Yep, Memorial Day evening from El Paso on Fox Sports 1. In the words of Jay and Dan, watch it!
And if that doesn't tickle your fancy, you might want to flip your channel, flip your dial over to AMC. No, they're not the ones picking up TNA. They are taking a look at Billy Corgan's Resistance Pro Wrestling, which is a Chicago-based indie that's only been operating for about 2 or 3 years. These are one-hour episodes. Let's see. It'll follow Corgan in his latest undertaking as a creative director of Resistance Pro. Behind the scenes of his fascinating world, from creating storylines to choreographing fights to managing intense post-match locker room arguments, revealing that the most dramatic stories often take place outside of the ring.
So this is actually going to be a real look behind the scenes as opposed to whatever Total Divas is.
Yeah. This is not going to be Realityception.
Ow! My head hurts when you just said that, but yes.
Well, that's pretty much what Total Divas is. It's a reality show about a reality show.
Yes.
Seinfeld-esque right there. Very nice.
So,
but here's the deal. If they do this right, you could put wrestlers into a new life for an audience that people don't necessarily know about, which I think could be very interesting.
It's always interesting to see something like this. It just makes me nervous sometimes because WWE has been working so hard to not necessarily close the curtain, but put up one that's not quite so clear.
An opaque curtain.
No, it's translucent. We're in the meta kayfabe era here.
True.
We can kind of see what's going on, but we're not 100% sure what's real and what isn't anymore. And that is lost art.
They are making the backstage reality we see as inorganic as possible.
Yeah.
While this, on the other hand, will be presumably more organic than anything we've seen in some time. Maybe the comparison is an extension of the old Beyond the Mat movie, only on an independent scale.
Correct. And I'm kind of hoping that a wrestler I knew out of Cincinnati, JT Starr, will be involved in this somehow, because he's been wanting to do something like this since probably 2009. This Resistance Pro isn't a small potatoes indie. Granted, they haven't been around very long, but let me run down their card for their May 16th show in Willowbrook, Illinois.
That happened tonight.
As we're
okay.
recording.
Okay.
Just Incredible appearing with Resistance Pro Women's Champ Mickey Knuckles versus Paloma Starr, Thunder Kitty, and Mary Dobson versus Darcy Dixon and Hardcore Heather Owens, Cincinnati. Remy versus Scotty Young. Cobra versus Mr. 450 versus Special Dark versus Marsh Rocket. And a tournament to crown the top contenders to the promotion's tag team championships. Look these guys up. You'd be amazed what you find when you're looking at independent wrestling organizations. And independent wrestling organizations just got to watch their rosters. As we see a couple of people, even though some people have departed from WWE, that doesn't mean people can't be brought in.
And boy, did we get a big one.
A lot of people are excited about Prince Devitt. The IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, a former junior heavyweight champion, is going to be in Florida once his work visa is worked out. He is, you know, the signature, the ink is dry. He should be working around NXT by July or August. He's the one that, this is the signing that I've heard the most about the last 2 or 3 days. And I've seen some images of him. I regret that I have not seen any of his independent work, but I've never heard a bad word.
Well, put it to you this way. I've heard that he's another one of those high flyer types, I believe. So can you imagine, say, for example, he works in NXT with a guy by the name of Adrian Neville, perhaps. Maybe a Tyson Kidd or a Sami Zayn. Tyler Breeze. And by the way, I am loving what's going on NXT right now. If you don't have the network, the TakeOver show is going to be really awesome. Really fun. So, that happens 2 weeks live on the NXT. Which, by the way, is also going to have a pregame show that Thursday.
Hopefully I'll be home in time to see all this.
Yes.
With the success of the Usos and Roman Reigns, even though they don't explicitly say that Roman Reigns is a Samoan, we've got another one coming named currently under the name Noah Kikoa. Trained under Afa Anoa'i, one of the original Wild Samoans. He was wrestling in WXW and apparently has impressed enough people that the Fed said, can we have him? So, and if he's as big and he's as buff as Roman Reigns is, shut up and take my money. Somebody give me a picture of this guy.
What's his name?
Noah Kikoa.
Spell it N-O-A-K-E.
Last name Kikoa, K-E-K-O-A.
Gotcha. Hold
Welcome
on.
To the Polynesian Spelling Bee, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Here we go.
At least it isn't something like Paul Malu.
No. No comment. Yes.
Hold on. Let me get you. Try and get you a good picture.
On air research. You gotta love it. Yes.
Live Google Foo, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
I think I can get us a market.
there you go.
Yes.
But no, I like these moves. I think it adds to the intentions of the company building the next superstars and building a younger core. It won't happen immediately. Give it 2-3 years down the line to see the full rewards being reaped. We're just starting to see the rewards being reaped right now.
And we'll be seeing some within the next week or so, as all of you believers get to stand up and enjoy the second attempt of getting Bo Dallas over on television.
Believe. Aha.
They have a full picture of him there.
Oh, he's got potential. Yeah, and I'm not using that as a dirty word. I am not using that as a dirty word.
That's not code. Okay, good.
No, that's that's some raw material to really work with.
Yes, and he is Hawaiian, and he's a young kid.
Excellent. We will be watching your future with great interest. So now that we see these guys getting paid, we're hearing more about wrestlers, actually not wrestlers, but workers who aren't getting paid.
Ooh, what is TNA issues for 100?
Yes, Jim, you are automatically awarded 100 internets.
Well, we know they don't bounce like your checks. That's a positive. But seriously, talking about people whose checks have been bouncing or not even arriving, you know, to be on television is a very important thing for a promotion, but you don't want to piss off the people who are putting you on the air. And I don't mean the network, I mean the grunt guys, the camera, the truck people. Yeah. Well, apparently TNA's been doing that because their production crew threatened to walk out during last week's Impact Wrestling tapings because they were behind on pay. Everything was eventually resolved when word got back to the powers that be, Carter's, and, you know, magically they received checks. It's happened a few times over the last year, year and a half, so, talk about biting the hand that feeds you. Not good.
No, and since I've been on both sides of the camera, I can relate. A production crew, first of all, is there long before the wrestlers pull up, and are still there long after they've left. These are the guys that set up the ring. These are the guys that pull all the cables, that have the cameras and the microphones for the headsets. They're the ones that put the batteries in the wireless mics.
They could easily sabotage out of spite if they really wanted to.
Yes. There is a lot of... You can do a lot of damage, and it can still look like an accident. And you don't pay these guys... Somebody's going to kick a plug out of the wall.
It's the old saying, they make you, they can break you too.
And, you know, WWE recently did their ad, you know, we have all this great technology, we all have this wonderful equipment, and we have all these great people working for us, but it doesn't mean anything unless we have the audience. And it's going to mean even less if you don't have a production crew, because the audience isn't going to be able to see anything. Like I said, it's just one errant kick to take the whole thing off the air.
I mean, it's one of those situations where I feel for the crew because, and we talked about this between segments here, they're probably not union types, because if they were union types, they would have boycotted long ago. They're probably a bunch of freelancers.
That's what I'm thinking, because down in Florida, I know that if there is a union, nobody ever asked me to join it. Then again, I wasn't in TV production for very long, probably about 5 or 6 years. And, you know, if they're not union, they really don't have any rights. So, yeah, it does take somebody shouting that far up the ladder. And at this point, I think Janice needs to put Dixie in a timeout while they figure out what they're going to do with TNA.
And the union in question that you're looking for, I believe, is called the IATSE, which is the International... Hold on here. The labor union representing techs, artisans, and craft persons in the entertainment industry for film and television production. So there is your union, folks.
Which I'm sure, you know, WWE has people in that union, I'm pretty sure. I think I saw a backstage picture with a bulletin board with those initials and everything on it.
The International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. Those are your boys.
There you go.
And ladies, excuse me.
Yeah,
you're fine.
You're politically correct. It's okay. But, you know, it surprises me, yet it doesn't surprise me with the way TNA and their money cash flow has gone by the wayside in the last couple of years, especially, that something like this would happen. I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner, quite frankly.
Well, it's not only the guys behind the camera that are disgruntled. We're seeing more guys walking out the door. Hernandez, he gone.
And he's, again, another name that was a part of the company in its early years. So it's not just Johnny come lately to the company. It's people who've been there with tenure, no less.
Yeah. But we've been there. We've done that. We're done. And it's got to be bad if Frankie Future, Kaz, decides to walk too.
Given the match he was in when he was leaving, that's sadly TNA in a nutshell right now.
And TNA is shopping to what other prospective networks? Exactly.
Spike could essentially do the same thing that TNA's been doing to their talent over the last 6 months. Lowball them and make them accept it. Because not too many people are going to be interested in a Bush League, low rent, uncreative, copycat company.
I like how you worded that, because it's not a reflection of the talent whatsoever. It's a reflection of everything but the talent. That is the problem right now with the company. Yeah.
You know,
and what's really sad is TNA used to go live every other week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just talking about on Thursdays, not even on Mondays, right?
Yeah,
they did for a while, I think, didn't they, Forth?
Yeah.
And now they have to go live once every 6 weeks at best.
Well, it takes more money than you think to put something up on the bird.
Television production ain't cheap.
And knowing the way they're bubblegumming and duct taping it with money, it's probably rental, 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 rental. And rentals are more expensive than purchasing things outright.
And, yeah, freelancers and temps are more expensive than actual paid employees. So, yeah, this is getting messier and messier by the second. I'm worried that with the financial situation with the WWE and the overall disorganization of TNA, where's the industry going to be in, 3 years?
Look at Jeff Jarrett's promotion, for example. They're looking for a TV deal. I think they do have one, don't they? Or they're on the verge of getting a TV deal, something along those lines. There is a trickle-down effect. There absolutely is to the independent promotions, the Ring of Honors, Jarrett's promotion, and to the real independent promotions that are getting local TV deals. It almost makes you wonder if sports, entertainment, wrestling, whatever you want to call it, is as valued a commodity as it was 10 or 15 years ago. Obviously, it's not. Not to the same extent as the Attitude Era when things, you know, in recent years peaked, let's say. But, you know, what the valuations of it, you know, you can't, I don't know. It's a fair question.
WWE is on a wonderful upswing. The shows have been very good. The network, I still feel, is a moderate success.
I think it's a better success than people are giving credit for. I think all this quote-unquote bad news is BS. I really do.
It's bad news short term. It's bad news short term. Talk to me in a year, and then we'll see if it's really bad news.
Exactly. you know, this is something, to steal another line from the same performer. Only a piece of the bigger picture.
Yes.
The problem is they're looking at the spreadsheets with magnifying glasses, and you can't do that. You got to look at the whole sheet. And the sheet's only one quarter filled in. You can't panic yet. WWE knew they were going to take a hit this year because the network wasn't going to be cheap to launch, and they knew they were going to take a hit from the loss of pay-per-view revenue for those who have not purchased the network and might not go to conventional means, because there are unconventional means still to get your hands on WWE product.
Exactly. And you're right, WWE has to still make original programming besides NXT. You know?
Yeah, and they've got a moderate hit in Legends House.
Mm-hmm.
Which I need to go see. I got to go back and look up the Chippendales episode. I heard that looked ridiculous.
Yes.
But you were also talking about the idea that, a secondary, and Jim, you said the secondary feds have to step up. I mean, Ring of Honor's got the Sinclair deal. Ring of Honor is actually doing the pay-per-view in June. That's going to be very interesting. Because what we got, remember, they're doing Best in the World. If you remember correctly.
Right. And I applaud them for making the effort of trying to be a third competitor in the game. And I want them to succeed as much as you guys do. The Sinclair deal both helps them and harms them, because, yes, they get more exposure, but it limits their exposure to owned stations by Sinclair, which does not reach every market in the country, or every section of the country, I should say. So, you know, they if they want to branch out further, I mean, they've got to take steps and do it, but when did they take the next step? Like you mentioned, maybe it's this pay-per-view coming up in the next few weeks.
It's just, you know, it's worrisome. Right now, we are on some very, you know, the industry as a whole is on some very thin ice, which is a shame, because WWE has made such huge strides in the last year to 2 years of dragging the industry kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Maybe it just wasn't meant to be.
Or maybe they drug it in too late. Maybe they should have. I mean, 2 years ago, you weren't seeing Twitter hashtags and this, that, and the other thrown at you every 5 seconds. Now it's like ADHD material. They're making up for lost time. If they had phased it in a little bit more organically, that's the buzzword for our program here, mm-hmm. then maybe, you know, the adoption wouldn't be that bad a thing.
I mean, it was good that they embraced social media, but you're right, they're still a step or two behind. And I don't even want to know how much money they lost on tout.
Oh boy. Don't get me started there. Well, I mean, it also comes back to the fact that the man in command, well, you know, at least Vince, that is, he comes off as the kind of person, and maybe it's just his persona on TV, but I get that feeling in real life. He thinks of internet, and he thinks, oh, it's dirt cheap material, it's number threes solely. That's not true.
No. He's got to realize that this, you know, we're coming up on a first or possibly second full generation of individuals who grew up with the internet.
That makes me feel really, really old.
Well, let's see, 91, so about 20, 25 years, yeah, about two generations, yeah.
That makes Jason feel ancient.
Yeah, I do feel ancient, trust me. Anyway, let's not think about that. But I really don't think the wrestling industry as a whole is just going to collapse after one day's worth of stock crushing.
No,
I'm not even saying, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, a year from now, when we get through the, when we get through the investigation, when we see if TNA can get a TV deal somewhere, anywhere, can ROH take the next step? Can Jeff Jarrett's promotion get anywhere? And if WWE folds, which I doubt it's going to happen, but I'm saying if WWE gets in some really, really, really deep dugong over this profit-taking deal, that's going to bring the whole the wrestling market as a whole down.
It probably would, but in one respect, it also could serve as a means to help the TNAs and the Jarrett promotion, the ROHs, because, I mean, WWE is the 800-pound gorilla and has been ever since they swallowed up territories. It would be kind of the bell curve, and then everything, you know, maybe would be a new era for the territories, potentially. Not sure if that's going to help them long term or not, but there are a couple different ways to look at it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. But this is something we're definitely going to be watching very closely as the year progresses. I don't want to think about it too much more, so Jim, promote something.
Something? You want me to promote something? We have the 50th regular season, quote-unquote, official edition of Touch 'Em All available on CLW83.com. It's me, it's DC Lundberg, it is Andy Sturm, and it is, I'm very slow because of Chico Alexander. How dare I? We talk about, you know, baseball's already a quarter of the way through the season. It just flies by, really, when you get right down to it. And we talk about the surprises that we've seen, both positive and negative, with players and teams. We talk about how Major League Baseball did a naughty, naughty in the whole Biogenesis scandal, and if there are going to be repercussions from that. We also talk about how, and we mentioned his name on this very podcast, Josh Reddick is a doofus. I mean, people,
for those who don't remember, yeah. Josh Reddick was the guy who did the beard off,
right,
with Daniel Bryan and lost.
And his beard is trim, but he also comes out to music for the ladies. You'll have to hear that. And we reprise one of the great games in the history of CLW83, eBay Price is Right, for some weird eBay baseball-oriented oddities, ranging from a Mitt Romney bobblehead given out at minor league stadiums a couple of years ago to a Paul Sorrento game-used baseball bat to a microphone signed by Jason's hero, Ken Hawk Harrelson. It is 85 Shades of Doofus. We also talk about one other serious issue that is tangentially involving us, and that would be Major League Baseball pretty much ridding iTunes of baseball team-centric podcasts. Why? How dumb of a move it is, and more on Touch 'Em All. Episode number 50 available right now on CLW83.com. Stitcher Radio, and the new way you can listen, the TuneIn Radio app at TuneIn.com. Download it for free on your Android or Apple device and search CLW83. You'll get instant access to our last 100 uploaded podcasts.
And we won't bore you with instructions on how to do that because we expect you to already know how.
Then plus we don't have Jerry Stupid Lawler who's going to malfunction for, you know, that's... with his delicious Subway sandwich, I don't know.
Jason, you have a lot to promote.
Yes, I do. Hopefully this weekend we'll record another episode of Red State, Blue State. This weekend we'll also talk about Pixel Nation, Which there's a lot of big video news coming up on, you know, E3's coming up in 3 weeks. The big news is that Xbox did something that no one thought they would do. And a lot of people are upset about it, even though they wanted it, which is very weird, but not necessarily unironic about this. Hopefully I will have another WLTI Live Extra up, because I am going to interview the winner, hopefully, Brad Rutter of the this is a hopeful, not necessarily confirmed, but I'm working on it. The hopeful interview with the winner of the Battle of the Decade Sternists tournaments, and put it to you this way, I can use a Paul Heyman line: the undisputed, undefeated king of Jeopardy, with about $4 million in his pocket. So I hope to get that up there as well. So,
Forth, do you have anything to promote?
Right now, just Typho Show, which again, I am trying my best to get him to remove it from that other place and to come here, but he just won't listen.
It's his loss. We could get the attention that he wants and needs. Since now that our shows are being broadcast, we are back on Stitcher. We are out on player.fm. We are now on tunein.com, which is really, you know, really exciting for me. It is good to know that my voice reaches even further into that netherworld that we know is the internet. That's a powerful feeling. Now I know how my uncle feels. Oh, that's some nice power. Anyway, I don't have anything to promote otherwise, because I'm right here. So for Jason Block, for Jim Williams, for Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman, and you've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Do tune in. Do come back. We do have more. Just not tonight.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.